Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike. With me, as always, is my heterosexual life partner. And we are here, moving on in our adventure, talking about Delicious in Dungeons, Episodes 3 and Episode 4. All right, ready for this?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, let's get into this Episode 3. I'm ready to talk about it.
Yeah. So, episode 3 is talking about living armor.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, I think this is probably one of the better. These two episodes are probably some of the better episodes that we'll have, just because it's not exactly like just a creature.
Uh-huh.
I would say.
Yeah.
So in the last one, you know, we had the roasted basilisk and the omelet and the stuff like that.
Yeah.
And in this one, we have these living armors, which everybody thought that they were basically just kind of done by magic.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that living armor is actually more of a mollusk.
Yeah. And so, like, in this particular episode, they go further down into the dungeon, if I remember correctly. And what's the little halfling's name? I forget what his name is.
Chilchuck?
Is it Chilchuck?
Yeah.
Chilchuck, he's getting through like this like door. It's like a hidden door. And they see like all this armor in this really like big grand hall. And we find out that, is it Laos?
The blonde guy?
Yeah, Laos and his sister have actually been here before. Correct? Yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was this place particularly.
It looked exactly the same.
But this is... he did get attacked by a living armor set, and it scarred him for a really long time.
Yeah, like... because they were... from the anime, this episode, it looked like... because they were with a group. They were called Gold Scrappers, if I think that's correct. And they would collect gold and, I guess, scrap it.
Okay.
And they were, like, young adventurers.
I must have not got that part.
Yeah, because he goes back and he's like, oh, I've been here, kind of. Because he, like, at the beginning, like, Chilchuck accidentally, like, breaks his a piece of his sword off. And it's, like, this, like, little thing with, like, wings on it. And he's like, oh, you know, I got this, you know, like, 3 years ago when me and my sister were starting off. And adventuring, and they were with these like scrappers, and like, oh, they go into this room, which is looks exactly like the room that they went into in this episode, and it's a bunch of living armor, and they're like, oh, maybe we can scrap it, you know, get some stuff out of it, you know. And this is the scene that the flashback, they start actually killing all the people within their party, which is pretty gruesome. Like, right. I wasn't expecting that. To say the least. One guy ends up getting his like throat stabbed through with a sword, and I was like, oh my god, like I wasn't expecting like people to start dying.
You're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I was basically holy crap, you know. And there, I think Laos is like, okay, you know, what we're gonna do is like we're going to just run. And that doesn't work out for them at all. So they come up with like a plan to like sneak around, like distract them, if I remember correctly. And they're going to distract them. And he wants Chilchuck to go. But Chilchuck's like, no, that's not going to work out for me. And so he sneaks around them. And they're fighting off the living armor, which is a pretty cool scene, I have to say. I really like them. Fighting off the living armor. Like the action scenes seem to be getting better.
Yeah, the action scenes for this one with the living armor were great. And
yeah,
it wasn't like a quick, like, little, you know, shot and a close up of somebody else or whatever. It was like an actual fight scene.
Yeah, yeah, which was really cool to see, and especially with Studio Trigger. They definitely, like, brought their game in this episode, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because Trigger does action really well. You know, we got a little action here and there in the first two episodes, but nothing this, like big. Like, most of the episode was a lot of action.
Because the other stuff we've gotten is, like, usually, like, the standoff thing. Like,
yeah,
you'll get, like, a samurai where he did, like, a slash, and then they're, like, standing away from each other, and it'll be like, oh, okay, well, we're going to wait here, like, 10 seconds to see who's going to fall apart, you know?
Yeah. But what's the, I forget what her name is. Who's the elf girl? Like, I have problems remembering all their names.
Shoot, you would ask me that.
I would ask you that, wouldn't I?
Yeah, it's, damn it. It starts with an M.
Oh.
It is
Marcel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcel. I love her in this episode, like, fighting the, like, seeing her fight, you know, because she's very much, like, very standoffish with the monsters a lot of times. But seeing her in Shinshi the dwarf, like, him just going at it with these armor, it was pretty crazy to see. But I have a question for you, because I noticed this watching it. Laos's sister, is she blind?
No.
Or she's not?
No.
Okay. Because she has, like, the Brock eyes, and she never opens them.
I know she shouldn't have the Brock eyes unless something's going on.
Yeah, she has, like, the slants on her eyes in this episode. So I was like, is she blind or what's going on here? She just have really, really slanted eyes.
What in the hell?
I was just curious because that was a little detail that I noticed. I even noticed in, like, part of the intro for the anime, like, her eyes were closed.
Yeah.
So I was really curious to see. But one thing I do like about this is that we did get a little bit into Laos's backstory a little bit, being, like, a young adventurer. I did like that a lot. Because, I mean,
I enjoyed that part, too.
I enjoyed the whole flashback with the armor and stuff, and them, like, being, like, reluctant to fight the living armor and stuff, and them being inexperienced. But I feel like it brings a little bit more character into Laos in this episode. Because, to be honest, I feel like he's kind of, like, there's no, like, real character for him.
That's true. Besides the foodie side,
I feel like he's just, like, blank slate, like, character. Like, we pulled off a character sheet, and we haven't even, like, developed this character, you know? He's very, like, just a blank slate, I feel like, you know? Which is fine, you know. You know, but we do get character development in this, which I do like.
Right.
Which, and I think is really cool.
I totally agree with you, because I feel like the first one, nobody really had character development.
Yeah.
And then we've kind of had a little bit for Marcel, and we've kind of had a little bit last time for Chilchuck.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't really had anything for Laos as of yet. And so this one really getting some backstory. You know, we did get some more.
Yeah, and so we get to the part where Laos gets through to the to this room, and there's just this armor in this room. It's very, like, ornate armor. He has, like, a big lion's head, which is really cool. Like, the armor looks really cool. It reminds me something of, like, Final Fantasy or, like, Gladiator, I feel like. Like,
yes.
It's a really cool armor, and I was like, oh, man, that's cool. I was like, I wonder if Laos, like, gets to wear that armor. Because I don't like his character design at all at the moment.
Laos's?
Yeah, I want him to get, like, some new gear or something that makes him look cooler. Because I think he's kind of lame. He just looks lame. Like, you like, oh, here's standard adventurer guy, you know?
Yeah.
At least like,
see, and I kind of feel like that's one of the things that they try and portray him as, though.
Like, at least like Senshi has like, you know, cooking utensils and stuff like that, you know. And we get into the next episode. We'll talk about that later. Like his little hat he puts over his gardening hat he puts over on his helmet. I think it's funny as fuck. I think it's funny, you know. But we get into this. We get this really cool fight with Laos in the armor, and he like his sword gets broken. He ends up throwing a brick at the armor, and the armor takes the brunt of the force of the brick like head on. The armor doesn't even block it. And then we find out the armor is protecting something, which is like an egg sack or an egg case. And
yeah,
and we get this weird like flashback of Laos holding like an egg case on a stick. You know,
what is that? He's yeah, like, oh, I know what exactly that? What that is.
I know exactly what that is. Which I was like, oh man, did like I know it's like a different way to like, you know, show like a flashback, but I wondered if for a minute if like Studio Trigger like used all their budget for this episode on the fight scenes for a little bit.
Oh my so gosh.
It just took me out of it, sort of.
Yeah.
When they showed that part, and I was like, oh, whoa. It reminded me of like, I don't know if you ever seen Samurai 7. But like you get to like episode 3 or 4 and like the animation just goes really fucking weird. It takes like a hit, you know? That's what I was like, oh no. Like, cause usually with an anime stuff will like, you'll have really good first 2 episodes. And then like the animation just takes a dip in quality, which I'm glad to see that this only for that split second, I feel like it took a dip in quality.
Yeah.
But we know as we're going on, I feel like the next episode is actually pretty good as well. But how did he defeat the armor? I forgot how he defeated it.
So he defeated the armor by throwing the rock, and he knocked the helmet off and grabbed it. And then he ran behind the pillar and was trying to figure out what to do with it, and ended up finding that there were kind of like 2 grooves on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So he stuck his sword in one and got it pried open, and the little mollusk guy kind of popped out.
That was really confusing because I didn't know what it was. I was wondering if it was like a parasite or something.
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be like a kind of like a clam or a starfish.
Okay. Gotcha. Because I was like, I've never seen this fantasy animal, you know, monster, you know. But then like we find out that all of these are being controlled by like they each have one in each suit of armor. Is that correct?
They each have many in each suit of armor.
Many. Okay, more than one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Basically, in between these sets of plates that are in here, you have them where they work like an outside shell and an inside shell, and they hold on to one of them so it sticks to them. And then each one has its role in playing the living armor's body.
Yeah.
And so they will sit there and adjust themselves to make sure like which way they are, so they know like, hey, this is your role. Kind of like every pilot for Voltron, you know, they can't swap places. And so each one works as a set of muscles in between where all the areas are.
Okay.
And they hold on to each other. So
I must have missed that part, or they didn't describe it that well in the anime. I remember them sort of talking about that, sort of talking about the monster in the anime, and how was it I think they were guarding the suit of armor, guarding the egg sacks. Like all of them are guarding the egg sack.
Yes,
I think it was. And I thought it was funny, like knowing that Laos has a fear of armor, like just suits right. of armor, funny because yeah. of like the traumatic experience he went through. Like, hey, 3 years ago.
Maybe you answered your own question there. Maybe that's why he looks kind of derpy.
Maybe. Okay, maybe that's why he looks kind of derpy then. But I thought that was funny. Like, he didn't realize, like, each time he saw one holding hands with another, that there was a monster inside of it. He thought it was, like, just like a joke that somebody put on, which I thought was really funny. And they end up cooking the monsters. And I don't remember what exactly they make in this episode for the monsters at all.
When they cook them?
Yeah.
So they steam them in the helmet.
Okay.
They pull some out and they fry them in a little dish. So that's the ones that make them really look like their oyster parts.
Okay.
Their oyster counterparts. They get made into a salad after they're cooked. And they get made into like a soup.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And then Laos gets a new sword.
Laos does get a new sword.
New sword with, I'm really interested to see, because they don't bring it up in the next episode at all. I'm really interested to see what that little thing in the sword does.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, oh man, cause he pops out for a split second and Laos keeps it like a secret from the other party members. Right. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. I was like, oh man. And I was like, wait a minute. I hope we don't get like one of those Disney, mascot characters for each like film, you have like the little lizard in Frozen or like, you know, like the little cute, like, character that follows like the main character around. I was like, man, right. I hope we don't get one of those. I hope this new party member is more interesting than that, but we'll have to see, exactly where we go from here. I mean, you probably know because you've read the manga. I haven't.
Right, part of it.
I haven't. Yeah. I haven't read it, so I don't know. But
yeah,
but I did enjoy this episode quite a bit. I really did.
I enjoyed this episode quite a bit as well.
This episode made me more interested in continuing. I mean, I know I said like I enjoyed the first two episodes. I wasn't like completely on board because like there wasn't enough action for me in this anime at that time,
Didn't hit your foodie side.
It didn't hit my foodie side, even though I feel like the food in this is very well portrayed. Like, it looks like your typical delicious anime food thing where they make everything look delicious and look tasty,
Where they make it look delicious in Dungeon?
Yeah, delicious in dessert, whatever, But yeah. I mean, this episode, it was better than I was expecting it to be. Like, it got me more invested in continuing and watching this series. Because somebody got a little upset that apparently I rated the first two episodes a 3.5. And she was a little upset with me about that.
I got a text message on that.
Oh, you did? You did?
Yeah.
Who could rate such a good show like that? Hey, to be fair, a 3.5 is not a bad rating for a first impression, I feel like. Like, I didn't say it was shit, okay?
This is true.
I did not say that at all.
You did not say that.
No, I didn't.
So it starts.
Yeah, moving on to episode 4.
Yeah.
4, sorry.
And we get a lot more stuff, I feel like, in this one of, like, knowing the dungeon.
We get more sort of info about Senshi, too.
Yeah. So, Leos is walking around, and we find out he's got this other weird trick that he knows. Mm-hmm. Just by ear, Leos can tell you what creatures are around.
Which I thought that was actually pretty cool.
I thought it was fucking amazing. Like, if you could do that to avoid, like, getting attacked or something, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, at one point he says, oh, well, there's some golems down here. And we hear him say that and that they're going to walk a different way. Well, then Sinshi says, no, no, we got to go down this way. So they go down that way. And Sinshi has a little base that's down there.
Very little.
He has like plows and rations and spices and stuff. He calls it like his restock station.
Is that like hidden from everybody else? It looked like it was.
Yeah, it's behind one of the doors.
Yeah, it was like a very, very little crawl space.
Yes. I'm sure there's, you know, more walking through the dungeon to get to it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Than what we kind of actually just saw. Yeah. But he does that. And he goes into this other room where there are three golems in there. Mm-hmm. He pulls out his shovel and he knocks out their cores, which they have a different name. I can't remember what it is. It's like some kind of little doll core of what the spirit.
It looked like it almost looked like a crucifix almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that or one of the little straw dolls.
Yeah. Which I thought this scene was really cool with Sinshi like fighting the golems with the shovel. Like I was like, oh man, that's cool. Cause everybody was like sitting there, like, or standing there like, what's he going to do to these golems? How's he going to take them on by himself? But you know, he knows these golems. So
he knows where their things at.
He knows where their things are at, you know?
And so he gets them and he knocks them over. They fall over into like a dirt pile.
Yeah.
And he lets us know that basically these are his vegetable gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses these and he talks about how they're a lot better than your average farm garden. Because since they're living, they actually protect themselves and don't let other things like get at them. And they make sure like they keep their moisture up and everything else. Versus, like, somebody else having to do that for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he gets the whole crew to basically, like, sit there and...
garden.
Yeah, garden. And they garden the whole time. And, like, Leos is like, oh, this is even more harder than adventuring, you know?
Yeah. I feel like they're harvest mooning it up at this point. Because all they did for a chunk of the episode is like garden like cabbage and carrots and stuff. And
right. And try and sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which there was a part that I thought was really funny. And it's later on where they go to actually sell the stuff.
Yeah.
And they just have like vegetables like stuck in their armor or in like, I think. Oh, Leos God.
Has all the carrots.
He has all the carrots. And then, what's her name?
Marcel.
Marcel has all the cabbage or lettuce, I think it is. And one of them's like stuck in her staff.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was fucking hilarious.
See, and I really liked the carrot thing with Leos because he had them like sticking out of each side of his bedroll.
Yeah, yeah, he did. And like they were in his belt. Funny. They were in his belt and stuff. Yeah, you know, that was hysterical. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Oh, you're good. So they go there and they are trying to basically like garden all this stuff. They get it done, which one of the things that I find funny that I think really makes Delicious and Dungeon stick out from other stuff is even though they're in this room with all this dirt and everything and they're putting them back together, there's still like a little like water fountain there that they're washing the tools off in, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it kind of seems funny that there's little things that are in the places here and there in Delicious and Dungeon like that.
Yeah, like, oh, who put this stuff in here, you know, that...
Right, right.
Was it Senshi or somebody else, you know, who did it, you know?
Right, so we find out that Senshi is illegally making golems, quote-unquote.
Oh, yeah, illegally, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Which he's got some bootleg, I guess, bootleg or counterfeit vegetables or whatever.
Right.
He's illegally selling vegetables, I guess, too.
Yeah. So he does that, and then they all have names, and he sticks the things back into him after he swaps vegetables around.
Mm-hmm.
He does give us some pretty good gardening tips.
Yeah.
And he waits for Marcel to leave it before telling him, like, yeah, you know, I put these back in there and they, for them to come back and like come back to life. We find out it doesn't happen like right away. The thing actually has to take root in them again.
Yeah. Which I feel like there was some underlining thing with the golems and him like naming them and stuff. Like that, I feel like that was like a plot thread that was like left open for future, possibly like some secret thing that happened or whatever with the golems or whatever, or maybe somebody else, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It's because it seems like some of the ones he has are just regular like boy names.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know because he said that there's three left and that there used to be like seven or eight.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to know, like, why couldn't he, like, go back and fix those other ones at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought maybe he does that. He has pots of, like, of stuff, fertilizer.
Yeah.
And
throws it on the golems.
Yeah, and it's funny because Marcel disappears and says she's using one of the bathrooms, and it always has the best bathrooms on this floor. And she's talking about it, and she's like, wait, how are the bathrooms always so clean and nice and whatever? And it's actually Senshi that does it, and it's his way of giving back to the dungeon.
He cleans the bathrooms.
Right.
He's and the so janitor.
He puts all the manure and stuff in a thing and lets it kind of get ripe to give to the golems and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's still funny that Marcel is still like very weary about monsters and like eating like vegetables from a golem.
Right.
Which is funny.
Well, I mean, and eating the vegetables, I think, is hilarious because she's like, oh my God, actual vegetables, because everything else they've had so far has been like monster meat.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh my God, you know, it's not the best. And then when they had this little kind of like buffet of vegetable stuff, like her face just lit up and was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Vegetables.
It was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they did that, and he was gonna go try and sell it to these other people, but somehow Senshi knew that they weren't there, so they decided by Laos's recommendation for them to kind of go sell it to this tavern that's inside the dungeon. Yes, and it has and criminals and other people criminals. Like that.
Yeah And they didn't want it. They didn't want the vegetables at all.
Right.
Which was really funny. They're like, we want gold. And they're like, these are shiny, like gold. They're shiny vegetables.
Right.
This part was interesting because they're trying to like get around the, trying to not die from the bar people, you know, and.
Yeah. So, with the bar people, I think is pretty crazy, especially cause we got the whole thing where they were arguing with them about, they were trying to sell vegetables and they're like, what do we look like? Like have gold. We don't, we don't need vegetables.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can tell that probably none of those people have eaten a vegetable since they've been down there.
They were some very savory people.
They were. But it was funny because since like all the characters we've seen so far, like female wise, we've seen Marcel and we've seen the little dwarf person that was originally in the party and a few adventurers, but we haven't really seen any other like female characters besides those.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was funny, like in the bar, like we had all these busty women that were in there and I was like, what in the hell?
The barmaids or bar patrons or whatever, you know?
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Of course, like part of the people that were down here were like criminals. So it also makes you think like, does everybody have like certain rooms that are down here in places?
Maybe.
And you know, like this one had like steel over it or whatever.
Like would you consider it like a safe room almost?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, obviously it couldn't have been too safe, but
yeah.
Because what happens
really. Yeah.
But yeah, and I just like the whole part where it's funny that all these people are like, no, we don't want vegetables. Vegetables. Yeah.
No, we like vegetables.
Yeah. And then that's when we hear basically somebody kick in the door.
Yeah.
And they're going around starting to kill everybody. And I really think that the vegetables were what saved them.
And they do cinchy as well.
Yeah. Well, I think just the vegetables are what made them stop first. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, wait, hold on.
They have food.
There's just random people standing here with vegetables. Like, the hell? And so I think it kind of got them to, like, hold off for a second and, like, actually look. Because then, like, it's the ogres, or the orcs, I guess. And they're sitting there looking, and they go, oh, Sinchi. It's you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like all that crap happens, which I thought was hilarious.
Because they were the people that he sells to.
Yeah. And they had to move down from the fourth floor up to the third floor. Because of things that were going on.
Did they say what's going on on the fourth floor?
Yeah, he said that the red dragon had kind of been in their area.
Okay.
So they had moved up and built kind of like little ramshackle places up there.
They're on the run.
Yep. Which you know, they're there and they're looking for food because they can't find any. And one of the guys thinks that there's like milk in a jar and he's like, oh, that's spoiled, and there's tons of bags of flour.
Cinchy gets really upset and tells him not to throw that jar away.
Oh, yeah. He's like, bring it with us.
He's like, bring it with me. I can make something out of that.
Yeah, I thought that was so hilarious because Cinchy, like, was going off the whole time about this jar, and you find out what it is yeast.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's fermenting yeast, which is what you use to have bread rise.
Okay.
And so they use the flour and some water, and that's why they have the little scene where they're making the bread. He asked all of them, which this doesn't make any sense to me, whenever he was like, well, you can do whatever, and you can even have my life if you let us stay with you for one night. And I was like, kind of sitting there like, is he being really cocky about this? Like, oh yeah, I mean, I know you're not going to ask for it, but I'll even give you my life, you know, for part of this or whatever. But I think he just kind of knew what was going to play out.
Like, and they were in need?
Yeah, like, he knew, like, him making bread, he could feed a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they went down and they started making this bread and doing all this other stuff. And, of course, we get some more history with the elves and why the orcs are in the dungeon and all this other stuff. Are because other races kind of, like, drove them down there.
Yeah.
And
There was some kind of prophecy, right? Some kind of prophecy with like the tall man or something.
No, no, that's separate. So we'll come back to that.
Okay.
But because of like the orcs being on the surface, like a lot of the races hated them because of things. And we find out that it's actually because of like this battle that happened kind of a long time ago between the orcs and the elves and all the other more human looking races, joined the elf side to kind of banish the orcs to the dungeon.
Of course they would join the elf side.
Right.
Of course.
Right. So that happens. And then from the leader orc, which don't ask me his name because I don't remember that.
Oh, I don't remember what his name is either.
He brings up the prophecy like you were talking about. And it's not a tall man, it's anybody. If anybody gets down through the dungeon and defeats like the boss, then they own the dungeon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically the prophecy. Nobody's ever done it. Nobody actually knows about it. Nobody knows if that's actually true because there's not anything like written in stone. It's just like an old prophecy or wives tale from like back in the day, supposedly in the days of the dungeon.
Okay.
So nobody knows that per se, but yeah, I think it's funny with this whole part with Marcel and the orc chieftain going at it, like throwing and beating their bread and doing all this other stuff. And since she is almost like a referee almost, cause he's like, all right, it's time to like rise. So then they like do that and they take their corners.
Boxers,
they take their corners and like they're still kind of
who has the best bread.
Yeah, and then they get back into it and they do that, and he's like, "Oh, you guys made us bread. Well, that's our property." And he finally caves down, because his son is like, "We all made it together, Daddy."
Yeah,
and so you know, even though we know like all this shit's going on, we know that Papa Orc, it has a soft spot.
He's a big old softy.
Yeah, he's
tough.
Yeah, he's like Otaku Mike.
He's a softy, you know.
He's like Otaku Mike.
Sure, I guess.
Big old softy. but they do that, and they pull out all the food and stuff that they brought and some other things. So they actually have a bunch of different stuff, which was really cool to see all of them enjoying stuff with the orcs. And this is another part, kind of like what you said earlier, where I thought Leos's character was really bland because he didn't say anything.
He didn't do much in this episode.
Yeah, until he got called out about that news. Like, you said that, you know, you wanted to know what I would do if I... Well, you know, I just like to, like, kind of like leave it the same, you know.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have anything he wanted to add to the dungeon at all. Or
this is very much like a Sinchi episode almost.
I would say mostly part of it, and then the other ones kind of like got drained into it, which seems like it's happened with every episode so far.
I mean, which is fine, you know, like it's fine to have like episodes that like focus on like certain characters or whatever, you know, but I mean, it is almost like an ensemble cast.
Yes.
I feel like.
Well, and we only have the four people we're focusing on now. So
yeah. Which in the opening, there's like 12 of them, I think, or something like that. There's a lot of characters.
Right. Well, see, and the other weird thing I've noticed with the opener is, when they do the little thing where they're reaching for each other, one of the sides is all girls and the other side is all boys.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because I was sitting there like, wait, okay, there's Chilchuck, there's Sinchi, and Leos is the one reaching, and then, you know, because I thought it was going to kind of be split of people from the past, and then when I looked at it, I'm like, wait, Marcel's not there. Marcel's on the other side. So, Yeah, it's like a female and a male side, and they're lifting up Feral, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Leos' sister. And
it kind of reminds me of, like, the 16th Chapel. Whatever they do, they're like...
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is definitely what it looks like. But yeah, they do that, and then out of the goodness of his heart, you know, the orc tells them, like, where he saw the red dragon at, and so other stuff like that. So
yeah, and they kind of just go on their way, you know, with looking for the red dragon and stuff, and that's kind of where the episode ends. But what did you think of these two episodes in general?
I liked them pretty well.
Yeah. I did too.
Like I said, I felt like there was a little more meat to them on stuff, because there was almost like a mystery with the living armor one.
Yeah.
And it was really cool just having like the golem thing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, and of course, like, knowing that since you knew the orcs, and you also kind of got more of, like, this whole thing. I mean, and we've heard about it. We just haven't really seen it. We heard more of this other stuff about really knowing the characters and stuff of part of this.
Like getting more of their characteristics and backstories almost.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just knowing like what drives them, I would say almost.
Well, obviously Leos is driven by wanting his sister to not be eaten.
Right.
You know, we don't really have anything else for the other ones.
Right. I agree.
Except for Senshi. Senshi loves food.
Yeah. Well, and off of that, we kind of get like the appreciation for the dungeon. I think that's a really good thing that we kind of get with Senshi's character right now, is he's like, mm-hmm. you know, every step that you take in the dungeon, like, could have like consequences to it. You have to make sure like the ecosystem in the dungeon is good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really like that. That's getting pushed forward on a bunch of the stuff. Is like, hey,
one thing I really want is I want their party to like start expanding a little bit, like introducing more people.
Oh, to the party. And I mean, we probably won't get that for a little while.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But
there
is
something I want to look at real quick.
Okay.
So, going off of what's in the titles, we did get, it was two.
Uh-huh.
So episode one was Hot Pot and Tart.
Uh-huh.
Episode two was chapters 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Episode 3 was 6 and 7. And episode 4 gets us into the first two chapters of book 2.
Okay. So they're moving pretty fast then.
Yeah, so they're covering about 2 or 3 every time.
That's pretty crazy, cuz most anime only cover like 1 to 2 chapters an episode if they're basing it off of a manga.
Yeah.
But that's pretty crazy that they're moving that fast.
Right. Well, and at this point, I think it'll probably be done by the time the books are done.
Maybe, depending on like how many episodes we get of this first season.
Right, right. I don't know.
But if you had to rate these two episodes, what would you rate them at?
Let me ask you this real quick.
Uh-huh.
If I rated it a 3.5, would I get threatened?
I don't know. That's what I'm going to rate it as. A strong, hearty 3.5 out of 5.
I'd probably go with a 4 again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's fun to watch. I mean, it's not like the episodes don't really drag it at this moment.
Yes.
Like, they're not really dragging. They're not really... There is a bunch of, like, info dumping, but it doesn't feel like info dumping, like anime info dumping. You right. know, they seem to move along fairly nicely and, like, quickly.
Right.
It seems like, because you know See, how we...
And I think the info dumping part that we kind of get with it is spread out, unless yeah. it pertains to cooking.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of my favorite parts from, like, Senshi's point of view, is we'll get, like, little like, things of him cooking.
Yeah.
And it'll be him talking. He'll be like, well, first we take the chicken and we cut it, and we'll get, like, a little scene of him, like, cutting, you know?
Yeah, cutting it'll be the like, chicken, preparing the vegetables.
And then you pulverize it, and then you do this, and then you yeah. fry it up, and you're like... But, of course, he's saying more than that, but as fast as he's kind of talking, you're like, what the fuck?
I feel like if I read the manga, I don't feel like I would enjoy this series as much, to be honest, because I feel like that would probably be drawn out in the manga.
I don't know. I feel like I'm still enjoying the manga more.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's because of how much color is in the anime.
Yeah.
Because it's all really fun, you know, and then you'll get these little excerpts of, like, this is how they're cooking it and stuff and
yeah,
all that. But then when scenes in the thing are, like, really dark, they're really dark. So, like, the Living Armor one, I feel like, seems darker in the manga than it does in the anime. And I don't know if it's because of the color or not.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Who knows? But somebody, I kind of want to wrap this up, but somebody told me, or they said that Delicious in Dungeons was basically like the fantasy version of Food Wars. And I was like, hold on a second. Like, nobody's losing their clothes in Delicious in Dungeons.
Who told you that?
I can't tell you on air.
Okay.
I can't tell you on air. But it the name rhymes with, I don't know, Jornathan. And I was like, what? How did you get
no
that?
No comment.
Is it because they're both food related? I don't know. I mean, I was like, ah.
So we may have to do a bonus episode just talking about this compared to other food manga in general.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, I love food manga. But the sad thing is I'm going to definitely say hell the fuck no. Because in this, like, you actually... First, it's fantasy-based.
Yeah.
Two, they actually tell you what they're cooking.
That's true.
The other one, they don't really do that. It'll be like I added this in there, and you're like, oh, well, what's the other 12 ingredients you used, you know? This one, like, since she's pretty open about telling us every little fucking thing that he does.
And we don't see Senshi, like, orgasm when he eats.
Oh my god, right? Well, and we don't see anybody else, you know?
Yeah.
If we do, it's kind of like when Marcel takes a bite and she's like, I didn't expect it to be so good. You know, like, that's the closest we get.
Low-key, she, like, creamed in her pants at that moment, just saying.
Oh my god. Didn't happen. Didn't happen. No clothes came off in this recording of, you know...
Yeah.
But yeah, Food Wars.
I had to throw that in there after we recorded the first episode. They asked, oh, what's coming up? And I was like, oh, we talk about Delicious in Dungeons. And he's like, oh, that's like Food Wars, right? Like fantasy Food Wars. Oh my god. And I was like, ah.
Oh my god, no. No, 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 no.
But I mean, it is what it is, you know. But I'm excited to continue this series. It's fun to talk about, you know, and watch and stuff, you know.
food recommendation series.
But yeah, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Remember to subscribe and rate and review the podcast. You can leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Stay safe.
We will see you next Tuesday.
Exactly.